Son of Man, understand the vision of the ram and goat pertains to the time of the end. It's talking about that specific time.
Welcome to Truth Matters Church, contending for the faith one verse at a time. Today we look at part two of Daniel's vision of the ram and goat and carefully exposit the countries and kings that this prophecy is referring to. We also see how the angel Gabriel confirmed to Daniel that the vision he received was for the end times and is not something that has already been fulfilled. We invite you to download the handout, which includes the maps and detailed notes for today's study, available at truthmatterschurch.org/resources. Here is Pastor Alex.
Okay, so we're continuing our study into Daniel's visions. We are in Daniel's visions of the ram and goat, and we are in part two of our study. And for part one of our study, what we did was we pretty much took the vision that was given to Daniel, and we walked through that and unpacked that. So that was part one, was just kind of looking at the vision and what can we get from the vision. And then for part two of our study, we're now going to look at the interpretation that was given to Daniel, because then we're going to find out who's the ram and goat and what is it pointing to. Because as we'll see, understanding this vision and prophecy will have its relevance when we come to the study and open up the book of Revelation. And before we get to the text, I do want to start off with some disclaimers. I do want to say this, and for those of you who know me, I don't claim to have prophetic vision. I'm not claiming to be a prophet. I just want to make that clear. I wanted you to hear it from my lips. I don't claim to have that. I also want to acknowledge that I'm not an expert historian. And I do believe that God has given me grace in the handling and teaching of His Word, and that's what we've been doing. And I know that there's a lot of activity in the world and in the Middle East. So we're studying the book of Daniel, which is about, let's say, 500 to 600 BC. From that to the present is about 2,600 years. There's been a lot of activity that's been going on in the world and in particular in the Middle East. And there's going to continue to be activity that will continue to play from even here, from us going to the future. And I just want to say this. All world events, all activity in the world, especially in the Middle East, there are dominoes that are falling and leading to fulfilled prophecy and Messiah's kingdom. So when we get to biblical prophecy, if someone were to come and say, well, yeah, that prophecy is fulfilled because it gets us closer to the return of Messiah, I'd be like, amen. But I just want you to know that as we continue in our studies, I'm not going to get into which world events is fulfilled prophecy. Rather, just understand that all world events is going to lead to the return of Jesus on earth. And that's what we've been endeavoring to do when we're studying our mini-series into Daniel's visions. We're trying to say, okay, well, what are some world end time events that we can't miss? That will be confirmed when it happens. And then when we have this backdrop, we'll know we are in those days. And that's why God has given us His inspired word. So our goal will continue to be, we're going to use Scripture as our guide the whole time. If you've been following with us throughout our study up to this point, when we started to study the book of Revelation, you will find a pattern. I've never deviated from the Scripture, for the most part. I try my best to stay grounded. I always say, okay, what was the original? What is this? What is this? What's the context? And putting that together for us. I've done that the whole time. We're going to continue to use Scripture as our guide, not the other way around. We're not going to let the world events be our guide. We're going to allow and we're going to abide by the rules of engagement that we set out from the very beginning of the study, because I recognize when it comes to eschatology, when it comes to end times prophecy, you know what it feels like? It feels like trying to contain the ocean. I can't. And you know what? And I can tell you, if I can be transparent, I don't want to do this. You know what? I want to go to, in my spirit, what I tell my Heavenly Father, Daddy, no. I'm going to drown. I don't want to do this. Daddy, no. Daddy, no. You know what He says? Son, you can. Son, you can, I got you. And I'm like, okay, here I go. But you know what? Because I have his Spirit and his Scripture as my guide and trying to abide by these rules of engagement that we set out from the beginning, I am on solid ground, at least that from my, as far as my personal kind of journey here. And what we're doing is we're journeying this together. I don't claim to know it all. But you know what? I think we can find out some pretty neat stuff, what God is doing, what God has done in the past, done in the present, and what he's going to do in the future. And we're going through that journey together. So our goal is, again, to recognize what certain events specific to the end times and not be in the dark, for Scripture calls us as children of the day. So we're going to continue to do that. Amen? Before we jump right into the text, you know what we've been doing? So, you know, when someone, let's say someone witnessed something, and you're trying to, you didn't take a picture of them, there's no video, but someone saw that person, and someone draws a sketch, and then sometimes, so you, oh, explain it to me, okay, that person, what kind of features did they have? You know, how are the eyes, how are the eyebrows, how's the nose, how's the mouth, how's the ears, how's the height, what's the build, you name it, right? Ethnicity, color of skin, type of hair, no hair, like me, right? What is it? And then the artist, what the artist does, or the person, you're giving descriptions and you're painting a picture. I just want you to know that's what we've been doing this whole time. It's kind of like Daniel was giving us what he saw, and now we are looking at that sketch. So here's what we found so far. We found the, you know, in his prophecy, the lion with eagle's wings coming from the sea. We have the bear with three ribs in its mouth, you know, coming out from the sea as well. And then we have the leopard with four heads and four wings of a bird coming out of the same sea. And then we had this iron teeth that came out of the sea. And from that iron teeth, we know that came this other, this fourth kingdom that had 10 horns, of which one, a little horn, came after it and uprooted three of the first horns. And so these are kind of pictures. These are sketches of what we've been studying. And what we're studying now, it's like, okay, Daniel, you've also seen this ram with two horns, one was longer than the other, and now you've also seen this goat with a conspicuous horn in the middle of his eyes, and we're allowing Daniel to give us the sketch. And what we've been doing is looking at the sketch, looking at the Scripture, looking at the original, and seeing what can we glean from it. And did you notice we haven't tried to tie it into world events? We're just like, okay, well, what does the sketch tell us? So here's kind of like a, so we can kind of take that illustration and actually apply it in practice. So if the Scripture gives us a description of Antichrist, let's just say we're to give us the eyes and the ears and the nose, everything that gives us, let's just say the Scripture gives us a description of the Antichrist. And if someone goes, that's the Antichrist, you go, well, does that look like him? Yes or no? Yes. Have you seen that sometimes when there's a sketch and they find the person, you put them next to it, you're like, oh yeah, that's the person. That's what when we go through the study, it's going to be the same thing. Who's the Antichrist? Well, here's what the Scripture tells us the Antichrist. Here's his characteristics. Here's his profile. And then if someone arrives in the scene that fits the profile, glove fits, that's him. And we are not in the dark. We are of the day. We know that God has foretold us. He's warned us. And he's also admonished us and exhorted us to continue in the faith, even in the face of opposition or even death. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to continue to do that. But I thought that this wanted sketch, when you see like a wanted in the sketch, that's what we've been doing up to this point. And we're going to continue on with that. Amen. Now, let's finally pick up in Daniel's visions of the ram and goat. We are going to pick up in Daniel 8, verse 15. And here's where Gabriel is going to give Daniel the interpretation of the vision of the ram and goat. So we'll pick up in verse 15, we'll read through 19, and then we'll walk step by step from there. Beginning in verse 15. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it, and behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Ulai, and he called out and said, Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision. So he came near to where I was standing, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, Son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. Now while he was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and made me stand upright. And he said, "Behold, I am going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end." So let's begin to exposit this short passage. Pick it up back in verse 15. So it says there, "When I, Daniel, had seen the vision," he's speaking about the vision of the ram and the goat, "I sought to understand it, and behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Ulai, and he called out and said, 'Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision.'" So the one who looked like a man is referring to Gabriel. And Gabriel is before Daniel at this point in the vision in the Ulai canal. And the voice of a man is referring to another angel, which says, who is between the banks of the Ulai. So kind of one of the things to glean here, no, whenever there's activity going on, world events, remember I mentioned this in our last study, angels are working in the heavenlies, and it's manifesting itself in the physical. So here you have Gabriel talking, or one who looked like a man, and who is Gabriel, and was given the instruction from another angel saying, "Hey, Gabriel, tell Daniel, give him the understanding to the vision that he saw, for it pertains, as we'll see in verse 17, to the time of the end." In verse 17, when it says pertains to the time of the end in Hebrew, it's the eth ketz. Okay, it's interesting. So when it says the time of the end, when we're talking about eth, the time in Hebrew, it's talking about a specific time. The eth, it's a specific time. There's other Hebrew words that talks about time, like yom also means, or translated time. But if you said yom, it's just general time. Or there's moed, which also means time, but it's used to talk about a time, about a specific appointed feast. There's something specific, like such as an appointed feast. But here, the time of the end, the eth, it's talking about a specific time or a specific season. So when he says, "Son of man, understand the vision of the ram and goat pertains to the time of the end," it's talking about that specific time. So ketz means the end of something. The end of something. So the time of the end, or the eth ketz, it's the end of something. Here it is. The end times. It's the end of something. The end times, towards the latter time. The vision of the ram and goats is concerning the latter time. So let's continue on. When eth ketz is used together, and it's connected to prophecy, it's an end times prophecy. And the only other time that eth ketz is used together in the Old Testament besides the book of Daniel is Ezekiel. And I want to go through a couple of passages in Ezekiel to kind of bring this home, bring home the point that the eth ketz, the end times, and it's speaking about the latter times in history, right, leading up to Messiah's kingdom. Here's an example of the eth ketz in Ezekiel 21, verses 24 through 27. And here, Ezekiel is prophesying against Israel. We'll pick it up in verse 24. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your deeds your sins appear, because you have come to remembrance, you will be seized with the hand. And you, O slain wicked one, the prince of Israel, whose day has come in the eth of the punishment of the end ketz. Thus says the Lord, remove the turban and take off the crown. This will no longer be the same. Exalt that which is low and abase that which is high. A ruin, a ruin, a ruin I will make it. This also will be no more until he," speaking of Messiah, "comes, whose right it is, and I will give it to him." Now we just read this, but just know that this is prophecy concerning the last wicked king, the last prime minister of Israel. When it says, verse 25, "And you, O slain wicked one, the prince of Israel, the King of Israel, the ruler of Israel, whose day has come in the time and the eth of the punishment of the end, Ketz, thus says the Lord. Remove the turban, he's going to be wearing a turban, and take off the crown, he will also have a crown. This will no longer be the same. So in this passage of Scripture, the eth Ketz is associated with this wicked ruler, prince of Israel, who will be here at that time. But this is the eth Ketz. This is going to be towards the latter part of history. This is pointing towards the last king of Israel in the end times. But that's the eth Ketz. We'll look at another example, Ezekiel 35. And here, Ezekiel is prophesying against Mount Seir. We'll pick it up in verse 5. Because you have had everlasting enmity and have delivered the sons of Israel to the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, at the time, at the eth of the punishment of the end, Ketz. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, I will give you over to bloodshed, and bloodshed will pursue you, since you have not hated bloodshed. Therefore, bloodshed will pursue you. I will make Mount Seir a waste and a desolation, and I will cut off from it the one who passes through and returns. I will fill its mountains with its slain on your hills and in your valleys and in all your ravines. Those slain by the sword will fall. I will make you, he's talking about Mount Seir, an everlasting desolation, and your cities will not be inhabited. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So just know from this passage, Mount Seir, the people of Mount Seir, whoever they are, they will be used as God's instruments in their time of calamity during the end times, during the eth Ketz, during the time of the punishment of the end, and this is concerning Israel. So God is going to use Mount Seir and the people represented in Mount Seir, he's going to use them as instruments of judgment to Israel, and then once he's done using them as instruments of judgment, then God will judge Mount Seir. And here's a clue. Mount Seir is one of the seven mountains on which the harlot sits when we get into the book of Revelation. One of the mountains is Mount Seir. God used them here. It's at the punishment of the end. At the time of the punishment of the end, the eth Ketz, you have to consider Mount Seir as one of the seven mountains by which the harlot sits. And we'll get more into that when we get to that, or that portion of our study. But let's go back now to verse 17, and let's kind of put this together. It says there, so he, speaking of Gabriel, came near to where I was standing in the Ulai Canal. When he, Gabriel, came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he, Gabriel, said to me, son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end, or the end times, or really the time that Israel is done being punished, or God is done punishing Israel. That's the end of the punishment, the eth Ketz. And we know that God is going to stop punishing Israel at the end. And that places it right before Messiah comes to rescue them. So here's our map that we've been kind of building out. And, you know, what we've gotten from just the vision alone, what, you know, the ram with two horns, and it was budding westward, northward, and southward. And it says Daniel was standing in the Ulai Canal, and the ram was before him. So this ram with two horns places that ram, present-day Iran, but on the border of Iran and Iraq, north of the Persian Gulf, right there. That's the Ulai Canal. So we know that in prophetic vision that the ram with two horns is on the border of Iran and Iraq, but it's in what we know as Iran today. So Gabriel, I try to fit him in the picture here, kind of in between, you know, or over Daniel and his vision of the goat, but Gabriel is kind of on the scene here. So we'll continue to build out this map to see, okay, as far as the ram and goat, where does the prophecy take us? And then how does that tie into the end times? And how can, when we study the book of Revelation, how can we now use this insight to open up even our insight when we get to the book of Revelation? So that's our goal. So let's continue on. Verse 18, now while he, Gabriel, was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he, Gabriel, touched me and made me stand upright. He said, behold, I am going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. So for this verse, we're going to look at a couple of phrases to unpack this a little more. What's the final period of indignation? And what is the appointed time of the end? Because he's saying he's going to let us know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. So let's look at this. Let's look at final period of the indignation. So final period is acharith, which means the end, the farthest end, or the last time. So the final period is the acharith. It's pointing to the farthest end of the end, if that makes sense. If there was a timeline, and here's the beginning point, here's the end point, the acharith is here. It's at the farthest end. That's the acharith. What's the final? It's the final end. So what's the? It says the final end of the indignation. Indignation is zam, and it means intense anger. It means wrath. So zam, when we talk about God's wrath, in Hebrew, it's God's zam. It's associated also with God's severe punishment and disciplining of Israel for their sin and rebellion. So when you're saying, okay, when God is not pleased with Israel and he wants to punish them severely for their sin and rebellion and have, you know, and in that wrath and discipline, in that zam, that's the word to describe the severe punishment and disciplining of Israel for their sin. And I want to show a couple of examples of this in Scripture. And go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22, verse 31. And here God is punishing Israel for their sin. The context, verse 31. Thus I, Yahweh, have poured out my indignation. I have poured out my zam, my intense anger, on them, on Israel. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God. And we also see another example in one of the Psalms of David, in Psalm 69:24. And here, the psalm is prophecy about the Jews killing their Messiah. Let's look at what David says there in Psalm 69:24. He says, he's talking to God, Yahweh, pour out your indignation, pour out your zam, your intense anger on them, Israel, and may your burning anger overtake them. And he's talking about Israel. And I mentioned this before, if you're getting lost in all this, just know what is going on in the world. Yeah, we have our issues and what's going on our side of the world and northern part, southern part, you name it, the world is pretty big. But did you know when it comes to the Bible and Scripture, you know what's first and foremost? Who's the center? It's Israel. Israel is the epicenter. It's the Holy Land. That Israel, Jerusalem, is the land by which God decided to call by his name, it says. God chose the land of Israel and the people of Israel. So when Israel, when the Jews killed Messiah, what happened from that point on, God is severely punishing them since, you know, he punished them in the past and he's punishing here. In Psalm 69:24, David says, Lord, they killed your Messiah. Let pour out your indignation, your zam, your intense anger against them. And may your burning anger overtake them. So what's going on since the Jews killed Messiah? Remember they said, when they asked for Barabbas to be released, you know, Pilate says, what? And what about, you know, him who is called the King of the Jews? And he goes, let his blood be on our head and the heads of our children. Is that not what's happening? God's zam is on them. And did it not come to fruition in AD 70 when he ravaged them and destroyed them and destroyed the temple and took them out, the Romans? Isn't that God's, would we not agree that Rome, the Romans at that time, were God's instrument to unleash his zam against the people of Israel for killing Messiah? Absolutely. But just know that God's punishment of Israel hasn't relented yet. Now, there are some Jews, as we know, even the Apostle Paul is a good example, and obviously the disciples, there are Jews who came to faith in Christ. from the time of Christ, even to this day. So there are still people being saved. The gospel is still bearing fruit. But concerning just generally the people of Israel and the land of Israel, the punishment of their end hasn't come yet. But there's going to be an end point to that. So as long as you get that, then biblical prophecy is going to make sense. The chips will start to fall. So that's the final period of the indignation. When we're reading Daniel's vision, here's what's interesting. Okay, when's the final period of the indignation? When is God's punishment going to come to an end? What needs to happen? Well, the host, Israel's king at the time, and the regular sacrifice in the holy temple in Israel will be given over to what Daniel calls in his vision the small horn. And we've covered what the small horn means in the Hebrew. The small horn literally means a young king, a king young in years. So if there's a young king in Israel, or at least the king of Israel was given over to a young king along with the sacrifice, that's an indication that, okay, we are getting towards the final period of the indignation, meaning God's punishment for Israel. It's still happening during that time, but we're getting towards the eth ketz, towards the end of that, when God will stop punishing Israel. That's the final period of the indignation. Another thing about the angel gives Daniel the duration of the final period of the indignation. He says for 2,300 evenings and mornings. So this 2,300 evenings and mornings, and for those of you who heard last week, how many days is that? 6 years? But how many days? 2,300 evenings and mornings. How many days? No, it's not. It's not 2,300. No, it's of course it's 2,300. I'm joking. If you're going to tell me 2,300 evenings and mornings isn't 2,300 days, then you can take that and do whatever you want with it. But 2,300 evenings and mornings means 2,300 evenings and mornings. So check this out. To know, okay, when is the final period of the indignation going to end? What we have to work with, okay, is there a young king from the Middle East? And whoever the king of Israel is at that time and the regular sacrifice at that time given over to this young king, 2,300 evenings and mornings from there. Then you're at the end of the indignation. This is a very significant end times prophecy. And just know after the 2,300 days, it says, and then the holy temple will be restored. I think a better translation is the holy temple will be justified. Here's the thing. You remember Jesus cleansed the temple and he did that twice? Well, this is God cleansing the temple through the final indignation. And once he's done cleansing it, then the temple will be justified. It will be cleansed. It'll be made righteous. That's what it means when it talks about the holy temple will be restored. Are you with me? So the final period of the indignation, if you're taking notes, when you see final period of indignation, it means the final period of God's intense anger against his people, Israel. So that final period, that final time towards the end is the final period of indignation. God uses, and I mentioned this before, when we've been studying the four beasts vision, the lion with eagle's wings, the bear with three ribs in its mouth, the leopard with four heads and four wings of a bird, and then the iron teeth. And then from there, the fourth kingdom, and then 10 kings, and ultimately comes Antichrist. All those beast kings are instruments of God's judgment against the people of Israel. And as we see in the book of Revelation, it'll extend beyond Israel, and it'll include Christians, both you and I, who aren't Jews. But God's anger against Israel will come to an end when it's reached its fulfillment in the end times. So the Eth-Ketz, here's what I'm getting at, the Eth-Ketz or the Acharith, they're both designations towards the end times when God is done punishing the sins of Israel. Got that? So now let's talk about the appointed time of the end, and I thought this was pretty insightful. And this is the Moed Ketz. The appointed time of the end is the Moed Ketz. And it means an appointed time or place or meeting. So when we're talking about biblical feasts, when you go, okay, what time is that? That is the Moed Ketz. There's an appointed time for biblical feasts as stipulated in the Old Testament. So all of the feasts start on a certain month and a certain day. That's the Moed Ketz. That's the same thing as the appointed time. That's the Moed Ketz. Here's what's, I'm just going to kind of tip my hand. God's intense anger against Israel will come to an end at one of the designated appointed feasts. So God's biblical feasts have prophetic prophecy within it, has eschatology in it. So does anyone want to take a guess which of the biblical feasts where Israel's sin will be atoned for? Day of Atonement. Just a little clue there. So the Day of Atonement on that appointed biblical feast is when the fulfillment of that prophecy with end times, you know, prophecy in it, will be fulfilled. Israel, their sin will be atoned for in the land and the temple on the biblical appointed Day of Atonement. Pretty remarkable stuff. That's a pretty solid marker. So if we're following prophecy, just know that we'll know that the final period has ended when the Day of Atonement has fulfilled its purpose. And that atonement is concerning atoning for the people of Israel. But wait, how about you and I, New Testament believers? Didn't Jesus atone for our sin? Amen. Is not his blood, is he not the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world? Amen. So does the Day of Atonement have significance for us? Yeah, the truths and the promises contained within that biblical feast is applicable to us through faith. But just know, nonetheless, that the Day of Atonement also within it has prophecy concerning God atoning for Israel's sin. And we'll get more into that when we get to the 70-week prophecy of Daniel, when after the 70 weeks, then God will make atonement for their sin and bring in everlasting righteousness. The Day of Atonement is going to be one of the markers, one of the appointed times in which God will fulfill his prophecy. So here's the Kataroha amplified version of Daniel 8 verses 18 through 19. Let's read that, opening this up. Now while he, Gabriel, was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he, Gabriel, touched me and made me stand upright over the Ulai. And he said, behold, I'm going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation when God's intense anger against Israel has reached its fulfillment. For it, the vision of the ram and goat, pertains to the appointed time of the end, or the times and fulfillment of biblical feasts observances. So here, if you're taking notes, you know the vision of the ram and goat? It's end times prophecy. It's end times prophecy. Or at least within that vision is end times prophecy. And meaning, so the vision of the ram and goat, wherever they fall geographically, that gives us, it helps us pinpoint the nations or the world powers that'll come into play to usher in, right? Or to bring forth in God to fulfill his prophecy. You with me? Let's continue. Verse 20. The ram which you saw with the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia. Oh, I love this. I love it when the scripture just tells you point blank. So the ram which Daniel saw that had two horns, remember one was longer than the other, represents the kings of Media and Persia. So, you know that wanted picture? We can start to kind of, okay, the angel gave Daniel, or Gabriel gave Daniel the interpretation, and it says that the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia. So I tried to find the best kind of map based on, you know, the ancient geographic locations. So where is Media and where is Persia? Because that's where the ram, you know, the ram with two horns, that's where the geographic location is tied to. So this in this map here, I picked this one in particular because it did have some of the key elements that we're studying. We're studying, remember, Daniel is in Elam, you know, at the citadel of Susa and the Ulai Canal. Well, this one kind of has it highlighted in orange, but you'll see Elam is north of the Persian Gulf, and Susa is also north of the Persian Gulf. But just north of Elam is Media. And then south of Elam, or southeast of Elam and Susa, is Persia. So the ram in Daniel's vision are in these two ancient geographic locations. So let's kind of just put two rams there. There's one ram, let's call him the first king. And there's a second ram, you know, let's just say, and I just said first for king, I put the first king under Media because Media was mentioned first, but don't make that gospel. This is just for illustration purposes. But the two kings, the two horns represents two kings, and they are kings from Media and Persia. And this diagram kind of helps put that. So now let's take this diagram and let's put it into our more modern map of where these two kings lie. So remember, the ram was standing before Daniel on the banks in the Ulai Canal, and the ram in Daniel's vision was budding westward, northward, and southward. But if you were to take kind of the ancient locations of Media and the ancient location of Persia, both kings fall in what we know as Iran. That's where modern-day Iran. Now, I do want to say, remember, when we go back to our great statue study, and we took a look at the breast and arms of silver, and we know through the interpretation given to Daniel and historically verified that the breast and arms of silver were the Persia and Medes empire. And I use this map going way back to that study to saying, you know, this map here depicts, you know, in orange that spans the Persian Empire. So we're looking at modern-day Turkey, right, towards Greece. But if you were to go east from that, it gets towards, you know, India. But when it says the ram with two horns are kings from Media and Persia, just know that I'm not ruling any of these countries out within the Persian Empire. Remember, we're trying to say, okay, where is the ram and where are the kings going to come from? Well, we know at least from ancient map, we know that it's in modern day Iran, but Persia, for example, their empire was, you know, past, you know, extended past Iran. So I'm not going to rule out these other countries as being representative of the ram in Daniel's vision. And what was interesting, remember we talked about this, that would say that, you know, who's in play for the ram with the two horns based on present day countries? Turkey, Syria, Jordan, Israel, Iraq, Iran, remember this? Afghanistan, I can't rule them out. Pakistan, and we mentioned before, depending on how far the Persian Empire went, if it also went and covered India as we know today, then India would also be in play from where the king or kings in Daniel's vision can come from. So let me kind of sum this up for you in verse 20. So when it says the ram which you saw with the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia. Here on this picture, I just put, you know, one and two. One was longer, one was shorter. Let's say it's Media and Persia. So the modern days that are in play, because the angel told Daniel that the ram and goat vision is pertaining to the Ethkets, towards the time of the end. Now, I know a lot of things have happened from now, you know, from Daniel till now and now to the future, and I'm not going to get into that. But where I'm going to get into is saying, well, here's what the scripture gave us to work with. And then when we get towards the end times of things, then let's unpack that, know what to look for, and then that'll set us up for the book of Revelation. But which means that the modern day countries in play for this ram's identity, I would say Iran is favorite. So if you say, Alex, who do you think, based on scripture, who do you think is the strongest candidate by which the kings represented in the ram will come from? Iran. They're most likely, but I'm not going to rule out. It could be Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Turkey, Syria, Jordan, Israel, and then, as I mentioned, India as a wild card. They're in play for the ram. You ready to look at the goat? The shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece, and the large horn between his eyes is the first king. Pretty cool. Daniel was given the identity of the ram and where the kings came from, And now the angel told Daniel, the goat in the vision, it's the kingdom of Greece. Okay, let's look at that. So we have this sketch of Daniel's vision. Originally, it was the shaggy goat with one long horn. Let's unpack this. Okay, what can we know about the horn just by looking at the text? Shaggy, when it says the shaggy goat, it means hairy, a hairy goat. Okay, just so wherever the kingdom of Greece is in ancient, you're a hairy man and a hairy woman. It's a telltale characteristic. If you're a Middle Easterner from this region, you're a shaggy goat. If that's your people, you're shaggy. You're a hairy people. Don't blame me for that. I'm actually pretty hairy because I have some Middle Eastern descent. Anyways, shaggy means hairy. But the kingdom of Greece is the geographic location of the goat. Now, Greece, if you were to look up the original, it's Yevon, which in Hebrew means son of Japheth, one of Noah's sons. So kingdom of Greece, Yevon, son of Japheth, one of Noah's sons. That's where this shaggy goat with the long horn is from. So with that, I want to look at another map that we looked at in past studies. And this map, we use this map when we were going through our study of the leopard king, right? The leopard with four heads and four wings of a bird. And we went through, you know, the exercises saying, okay, where does scripture talk about, where's this leopard with four heads and four wings of a bird? And where the scripture took us was ancient Ethiopia, which is, you know, Africa. And where we found was like, okay, so and we found ourselves going back to the Old Testament, you know, to Nimrod and his line. And where we found is that the leopard with four heads and four wings of a bird, using just the scripture, takes us to Libya and Egypt as we know today. But in this map, what I liked about this map is, so after the flood, and we know Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the land was divided out to the three sons. And what I liked about this map is that it color-coded the regions of the sons. So Ham pretty much has what we know as Africa, that would cover Egypt and Ethiopia. And then Shem, which would cover what we know as really Saudi Arabia, much of the Middle East there. And actually, you can even say, depending on this map, Ham also, its borders would include, you know, Canaan or the land of Israel. But what I want to draw our attention to in this map is, you see this in the red, Japheth. So Japheth was allotted the upper portion of, you know, of this map, and that would place it, you know, north, you know, toward, you know, this is actually include, you know, Turkey, as we know today, and some of the countries there. But what I like about this map is there's this place right here called Yevon, right there. Yevon. Because the shaggy goat is from the kingdom of Greece, or the kingdom of Yevon. And there is Yevon right there. And what's also cool about this map, you'll kind of see towards the north there, there's Magog. Have you heard of Magog in scripture? Well, what I like about this map is it gives the ancient geographic location of Magog. But there's Yevon. So where does that translate to our current map? Because this is where the shaggy goat's coming from, is right there. And I put a red arrow so you can't miss it. Turkey, on the western side of Turkey. So when it says kingdom of Greece, the kingdom of Yevon is where this goat with this long horn places it, at modern day Turkey on the west. So there we have two kings, most likely in Iran, from the ram. And then here we have the goat with the long horn, who's going to come up mightily against the ram. And that's coming from what we know as Western Turkey. So let's look at that. And let's put in what we've unpacked. So the shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece, Yevon, the land of Japheth, and the large horn that is between his eyes is the first king. So the modern day countries that are in play when it comes to the end times, I would say, if you ask me, okay, is the first king, who is the likely, who is the strongest candidate for that shaggy goat? Where must he come from with the long horn? well, Turkey, what we know as today. But we also know that Japheth was also allotted, you know, Italy and Rome was part of it. So if someone were to come and say, well, the goat and the ram with horns that ended up being broken off, that implicates and includes Rome, I'm not going to rule that out, because that would be part of the land of Japheth that was allotted to him, or also as we know as Greece, Syria, Bulgaria, Georgia, Armenia, and there are others. I didn't want to list them all, but they're pretty much north, northwest, east, and northeast of Israel.
Thank you so much for listening today to the Truth Matters Church podcast. Be sure to tune in next week for part 3 and the conclusion of this study on Daniel's vision of the ram and goat. And if you've missed any of our past studies in this series, be sure to check out our website at truthmatterschurch.org or simply subscribe to this podcast to access the full list of teaching. And if you are in Northern California, we would love to have you join us in person for this study on Friday nights. Details are on our website, truthmatterschurch.org. Contending for the faith, one verse at a time. This is Truth Matters Church.